This hour of gameplay is brought to you by FanDuel. Bet on all your favorite teams on the FanDuel Sportsbook app.
You're listening to Gameplay on TSN 1050. We're going all in on the coverage. You can bet on it.
Wheels up, everyone. I know you're clapping right now, you're cheering, you're excited because your boy Gareth Wheeler is back again in the hot seat. For the next 2 hours, nothing but radio gold. You know what, let's settle for bronze. I don't want to set the bar too high here, so bronze, maybe even platinum, you know, some fake gold, something like that. Set the bar there. If we can do any better than that, it's an absolute bonus. Gareth Wheeler with you, sitting in for my good buddy Matthew Cause, who is enjoying the flavors, and literally the flavors, the tenants, I think they call them. I don't know, I'm not a big wine guy, of Austria. If you've never been to Austria, great country. It's beautiful. A few years back, I was in Salzburg. Gorgeous. The beer is outstanding. The scenery's great. The brewery, if you're a beer drinker in that country, man, it's right up your alley. Austria, very underrated, in my opinion. So Cause is away. I'm hanging out today, a couple days next week as well. Always love my time. Spending time with you, the great listeners here in Toronto, right here on TSN 1050. You can hit me up if you have something to say, a question, a comment, a message. If you want to lavish praise, that's cool too. At Gareth Wheeler, you can hit me up on Twitter or on Instagram, Gareth.Wheeler. Happy to take your feedback all day long here on TSN Radio. Coming up on today's show, if Canada comes back from 3 goals down at the World Hockey Championship, does anyone notice? I kind of say that in jest. Kind of. And we'll get into a little bit more of international sports. Kenny Albert. I mean, his dad is my, man, he's on my podium for all-time favorite sports broadcasters. Marv. Kenny, doing a great job calling the Stanley Cup playoffs, the NHL on TNT. He's also the Rangers play-by-play commentator for MSG. He's doing radio coverage as well over the course of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Man, Kenny's being super busy. Calling the short-lived Panthers Lightning series, and then radio duty for Rangers Canes. They play tonight. Can anyone win a game away from home? That's the question ahead of tonight's game. We'll get into some of the numbers, what he is seeing from his vantage point, and why home ice advantage has been so critical thus far for the Carolina Hurricanes. The Battle of Alberta rages on. We'll get into that. We'll talk Kaepernick. We'll talk Kadri. We'll talk Bozy. We'll talk Lowry. And the most controversial topic of the day, and that's saying something, Urine Lager. Yes, pee beer. I can't even make that up. In Singapore. I'm going to delve into this story and ask the very simple question, would you? Would you? Urine beer. Would you? I thought the story when I clicked on it was like from The Onion. It was actually the BBC. So I'm assuming it's legit. Pee beer. Delicious. My God, you know when you always said that you had watered down beer? Like you got a beer that was super light? You're like, oh, this is like drinking bleep. I don't know if I can say either word on this air, but that's kind of what's going on in Singapore right now. So we'll get into that as well. My day's being exceptionally busy, of course. You know, one of my main gigs is being the voice of Canada's soccer on One Soccer. And today, I mean, big news has dropped as these preparations for the upcoming World Cup in Qatar, which Canada are going to feature prominently, which you can watch on TSN. Man, it's going to be, we're less than 6 months away. Just, where's the time gone? The preparations have been affected as Canada has dropped their international friendly for this upcoming June window. They're scheduled to play three games. CONCACAF Nations League, which is basically, if you're not familiar, it's like a regional tournament that boosts some of the lesser nations, but also provides legitimate competition within CONCACAF. So you're not playing these quote-unquote useless friendlies on a regular basis. Now, friendlies can be purposeful, especially in the build-up to World Cups. And teams generally schedule games against teams that will give you a similar look or feel to the teams that you're going to go on and play in the tournament. So Canada, for the World Cup, drew a group, Belgium, Croatia, and Morocco. And there's a September window, so there's going to be an opportunity to play a couple games at that time. I fully expect Canada to kind of have a European base, training camp, if you will, for that period of time, where they can play like nations to Belgium and Croatia. So, you know, you can play the Netherlands, you can play Serbia, you can play Denmark. There's a number of different teams that you can kind of pick out and say, yeah, maybe you can get a glamour tie against someone like England. Like, this is what you're kind of thinking of down the road. But for this window, the decision to play games in Vancouver for a number of different reasons. One, you hope that Vancouver is going to be a host city, just like Toronto, when the 2026 World Cup host cities will be announced. I believe it's June 16th. It's 15th or 16th. It's coming up in a couple weeks' time. Vancouver didn't have a World Cup qualifying game, so it's a chance to put some games there. And let's be honest, a big crowd, a big gate, BC Place, a bigger stadium than BMO Field, and a chance to, you know, make some cash for the Canadian Soccer Association, and there's nothing wrong with that in terms of trying to capitalize on this incredible run to the World Cup and a group of young men who have really captured the imagination of this country. So you're kind of limited in terms of what teams you can actually bring out to Vancouver to just play one game. Like, it's isolated compared to the rest of really the footballing world. South America, it's a hike getting up to Vancouver. Toronto's easier in terms of accessible travel from Europe, other nations, other places. Just to get to Toronto is a little bit easier than Vancouver. So you were limited in terms of the opponent that you could get in, and Canada landed on Iran. To be honest with you, I'm not sure it was their first choice, but it certainly is its side that, one, is ranked 21st in the world, two, is going to be playing at the World Cup, three, has some similar characteristics in terms of their defensive play and having some really good strikers as well, two, Morocco, and four, there's a cooperation between Canada head coach John Herdman and the U.S. head coach Greg Berhalter. And if you look at the World Cup, Canada's Morocco in their group. Berhalter, the American coach, has Iran in their group. And these two coaches shared intel over the course of qualifying. You know, I'll help scratch your back if you scratch mine. And it made a whole lot of sense for Canada to play Iran and the U.S. to play Morocco, and the two countries exchange notes. So there was a tactical, purposeful, and meaningful reason why Canada decided to play Iran in this international friendly. Now, it was 2 weeks ago today that friendly was announced. Tickets went on sale, sold out right away. You know, there's an appetite to see this team. And there was a lot of people there's a lot of Persian people, a lot of people of Iranian descent that haven't had a chance to see, you know, the country that they came from or their relatives came from, their ancestry came from in live action. And I think we all understand the political nature of Iran, the oftentimes violent nature, less than democratic, let's put it that way, put it mildly, nature of that country, which has made the lives of many Iranians who've moved out of that country much better moving here, obviously, and providing, you know, safety and a chance to flourish and a chance to have freedom of thought, freedom of expression in our great country. Things became that much more complicated in terms of Canadian-Iranian relations in January of 2020, when a flight shortly after taking off in Tehran was taken down by the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, shot down the plane. And Canada has been entangled with not only trying to pay reparations to families affected, like dozens of Canadian citizens or people that lived in Canada died on that flight. It was horrific. It's an unspeakable tragedy. And it was an act of aggression, quite frankly, by the Iranian government or by the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. Like that's all out there. It's all plain to see. But the Canada-Iran match was all set, was good to go. It was announced 2 weeks ago. Things were quiet for 5 days. Tickets went on sale. Obviously, for Canada Soccer to sanction an event like this, they need to be, you know, assured through Global Affairs, through the passport office, through the government of Canada, that these Iranian players and staff are permitted and allowed to come into our country, which they were. Unfortunately, 6 days later, our Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, was then asked the question about Canada playing Iran in a friendly. He said he disagreed with the decision. He believed it was a mistake. He doubled down with that, with those comments. He tripled down by saying in a public video that even though they're, you know, they may be, you know, have permission to have passports when they land in Toronto or in Vancouver, when the players land or the staff lands, they might not actually be allowed in this country. So it applied even more pressure on both the Canadian Soccer Association and its players, in fairness. Like, Trudeau had no problem posing for pictures with Davies and the men's national team in Edmonton. Same goes with the women's team as well. And here, based upon, I don't think he even knew that Canada was playing Iran in this soccer game. He's put into a pickle. It's a political situation that hasn't really been dealt with by our federal government. Now this difficult and unsavory and awful situation is being put back into the spotlight, and our government really hasn't had an answer for it. So they keep pressure on the Canadian Soccer Association. The players are feeling pressure. Like, man, you feel so awful for the families and those implicated by this. They've obviously been very vocal in their opposition to this game, and you understand that, and rightfully so. And others, you know, this is just kind of the world we're living in today. Like, other people will jump on board as well. Their moral compass will start spinning, and this will be something that they want to share their opposition to, whether it be on social media, whether it be on message boards, whether it be on any sort of discourse. Like, I mean, this is a hot button topic which will divide people and divide opinion. So you got to believe the players have felt it. The staff have felt it. I've heard stories of people involved in Canada Soccer having people threaten to show up at their door, calling their office, understanding where these people live. I mean, that's not right. That's how far some of these protests have gone. So the city, the mayor of Vancouver spoke out against it. Like, this, the game would require more security. Like, how can you ensure safe passage with protests and a heated atmosphere around that game? Long story short here, Canada Soccer this morning announced that they've canceled the game. They, in conjunction with the government or who else, you know, may have been putting pressure on for this game to be shut down. Well, it has been shut down. You know, my overwhelming sentiment here is sadness. Sadness for the family, sadness that we're still going through this, you know, sadness for the players who now feel like they might be in a vulnerable situation. Sad for Canada Soccer, the fact that they can't play this, you know, legitimate friendly. Like, Iran's going to be at the World Cup. That's the thing. They're going to be playing this World Cup. FIFA hasn't sanctioned them. So the IIHF in for junior hockey said, Russia, Belarus, you're not hosting, you're out of this tournament. Who knows when they're going to be able to play in international ice hockey again? Like, they were, the federation made that decision. FIFA has not made that decision about Iran. This country's playing at the World Cup. So Canada Soccer did not break the rules by scheduling this game here. But obviously the pressure applied, you know, from a number of different sources, just made this game just an absolute no-go. And look, I want to get your thoughts on this. Let me know your thoughts. At Gareth Wheeler, Gareth.Wheeler on Instagram. Maybe we can open up the phone lines as well. Like, And this isn't necessarily to do with this specific event. 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. Toll free at 1-855-591-6876. Politics and sport. That's what it's about here. Canada is going to be hosting a World Cup in 2026. What if situations like with Iran, with Russia? Like, I've actually seen North Korea play a game. North Korea, a women's team, has played in this country in recent vintage. Like, I saw North Korea play Brazil and South Africa. Like, there's always been, whether it's been FIFA, the IOC, kind of the separation between the political and the sporting nature of it. Now in 2026, like, are games potentially in jeopardy? Like, what if any of these countries gets drawn in to play in a 48-team World Cup within our borders? What about other sports? Does it apply for that? Does it apply for hockey players, tennis players, golf players? Like, from what country are we going to allow athletes into this nation to compete? Or does the political and personal, you know, take precedent here? Things have been very quiet heading into Qatar, and I wonder how much more pressure will be applied on players and staff, and federations, you know, playing in Qatar in the upcoming World Cup. Where do you stand on this? At Gareth Wheeler. I would love to hear from you on this. Gameplay on TSN 1050 is brought to you by FanDuel. Bet on all your favorite teams on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Wheels up here on a Thursday. You're listening to Gameplay on TSN 1050. Wheels up. Gareth Wheeler hanging out with you here on a Thursday afternoon, or as we like to call it, Friday Junior. Just the kid version of Friday. Thursdays, I always feel like Thursday night is the real night out in the city. You know what I mean? Like Friday, like Thursday night, you start your weekend off early. It's the people that want to get after it. This is the real night out. Friday night, Saturday night, all the amateurs come too, which is great. I fully support that, but Thursday night's the real night. Gareth Wheeler with you, hanging out with producer Nick today. It sounds like the phone lines are not working. So apologies if you tried to get through. Nick, I guess I'm the only guy that wants to open up the phone lines anyways, right? Am I the only dude that likes to come on and just talk to the people out there?
I mean, I don't know if you've heard on the Leafs games post-game, Frankie always said that we got to open up the phone lines. And we never did, but he always wanted to.
Really? Like, see, when I was doing it, like, I started with TSN Radio on day one. Some of the best shows we did were those Maple Leafs Raptors post-game shows, or when I would come on late night afterwards, and we just throw open the phone lines, and we just all rant together. Like, honestly, it's for me, this is my personal opinion, it's the best part about this media, is that the fact that we can open up the phone lines and just talk to people. And that's why I tried to do it, but today the phone lines aren't working. Maybe we'll try to get them back up next week, Nick. I think I'm in on Tuesday, Wednesday, and we can let the people have their say. Can we work on that, maybe? Yeah, good idea.
Yeah, we can give it a whirl, no worries.
Thanks for the conviction there. Much appreciated. We were talking about the Canadian men's national team and their game being a soccer team being canceled against Iran, which, you know, I love the topic of international sport. Like, it's not just the Olympics for me. I just love international sport. Best on best, the patriotism, these athletes who decide to, you know, commit to playing for their country, and they do so with so much pride. Like, I just love it. Like, that's kind of what was one of the things that made that Canada run to qualifying the World Cup so special, or the Canadian women winning a gold medal. Like, so many, you know, just incredible memories there. And I hope that, you know, what's transpired with this Iran friendly being canceled, I just hope that it doesn't take away the goodwill, because there's something incredible going on the soccer side of things right now that I really think that other sports can capitalize on. Prime example, today, the World Hockey Championships. Like, dude, this has been so far off my radar. It's just the nature of this tournament, staged every year during the Stanley Cup playoffs. Like, if I'm the double IHF, I'm like, this is no way to capitalize on the North American popularity of the sport, which really drives this game forward. It drives the economics of the game forward. That's why, you know, there's been this heightened awareness, this increased pressure to add men's top-level professional hockey into the Olympic Games, but it needs to go further than that. If you missed it today, Canada played Sweden down 3-Cobb in the third period. With just a couple minutes left, they were down 3-1. Two goals sent it to overtime, and then this happened.
Wins it cleanly back to Matheson, and Canada sets it up. Severson across to Barzal. Matt Barzal in, shoots. Stopped by Omar. Dubois plays it back for Barzal. Across the top is Severson. Back for Barzal. Down to Dubois. To Barzal. Walks in, waits, feeds it across. Matheson scores! Drake Matheson has won it for Canada! All the way back from 3-0 down. Canada's on to the semifinals at the World Hockey Championship.
Awesome. Like, great comeback. Gord Miller, stud, TSN's production. Like, everything is great about this tournament other than the fact it's not best on best. And it's hidden during the Stanley Cup playoffs. Like, imagine if the Leafs were still playing right now. Who in this market would even know that this game's going on? And Drake Batherson gets a goal. It's a special moment when you score for your country. European nations care about this tournament more. But this team, like, this is who's on it. Batherson, Cousins, Graves, Sanheim, Severson, Holden, Lowry, Comtois, Mercer, Mayo, Greg. Like, what? Chris Dranger's their goal. Their goaltender. It's just like, what? This isn't best on bet. Like, your care level, you care when Canada's playing. But if they lose in this tournament, it's no reflection on how good Canadian hockey is or not. You want stakes involved. You want something in this game. And this is just a tournament which still just fails to capitalize on the best that international ice hockey can actually be. Like, I respect each and every one of these players, especially the guys from the NHL who are coming after their season to play in this tournament. I will always respect athletes who will represent the Maple Leaf, like, across the board. But this is more like a hockey situation. Double IHF, the NHL need international ice hockey to grow the game, to flourish, to bring in further revenue streams, and they simply just don't do it. So we're stuck with moments like this, which, you know, great sporting moment, but really is well off the radar on a wider scale. And that's unfortunate because it really shouldn't be. At Gareth Wheeler. Gareth.Wheeler on Instagram. Look, because we've got to talk NHLs. We need to talk Stanley Cup playoffs. Kenny Albert is calling the Stanley Cup playoffs. NHL on TNT, the radio voice, at least for the Stanley Cup playoffs, for New York Rangers hockey. They play the Carolina Hurricanes tonight. Can a team playing away from home do something in this series? We'll talk to Kenny about why things have been so slanted in the direction of the home team throughout this series thus far. Gareth Wheeler with you on a Thursday right here on TSN 1050. Wheels up on a Thursday. Gareth Wheeler sitting in for my good buddy Matthew Cause. Plenty to come on this afternoon show, from Kaepernick to Kadri to Lowry to, yes, a urine lager, a urine beer in Singapore. I cannot believe this story is actually true. The question is simple. Would you? Would you? I know my answer is absolutely not, but would you? At Gareth Wheeler, Gareth.Wheeler on Instagram. Dramatics this morning at the World Hockey Championships. Canada downing Sweden in overtime. Really the main show tonight, Stanley Cup playoffs. Two good series going right now. Both in action tonight. The Battle of Alberta, we'll get to that in a little bit later on. But who's going to win a game away from home in this series? Rangers, Canes, evenly matched. Like, you look at these two teams, man, two really good hockey clubs going toe-to-toe here for the chance to play the Tampa Bay Lightning in the next round in the Eastern Conference Finals. It's an honor, really, to bring this the next voice to the program. Sports broadcasting royalty in terms of his lineage, his family. He's absolutely outstanding. The voice of NHL on TNT. Man, he's been calling two series. He called Lightning Panthers on TV. Then he slides back into radio locally in New York because he's the voice of the New York Rangers. It's the great Kenny Albert, at Kenny Albert, joining us here on the program. How are you, Kenny? How's the voice still holding strong despite the workload?
Yeah, I'm great, Gareth. How are you? It's holding strong. I'm in a beautiful 80-degree afternoon here in North Carolina, getting ready for Game 5 tonight. So couldn't be better.
Awesome. You do such a great job, Kenny. I'm not just sucking up to you. I read somewhere just before we came on air that you're writing a memoir right now about your stories. How's that coming along?
It's coming along well. I'm probably about a third of the way through, and I appreciate the kind words. I just felt like I have a lot of stories and anecdotes through 32 years now of broadcasting and traveling and, some crazy stories related to travel and specific sporting events and color analysts I've worked with. So I've always wanted to put it to paper, and my family during the pandemic was really pushing me to get a head start on it. So it's coming along. It's due in September, and then it'll be published about a year after that. So I've enjoyed the time that I've spent working on it so far, and can't wait to get it wrapped up.
Very, very cool. Good on you, because I've been broadcasting for so long now and have called some massive games. You know, not to your level, Kenny, but I can't remember a thing. My mind immediately goes to the next game or the next task or the next commitment, right? It takes work, kind of capture, bringing all these great experiences and moments that you have to life.
Well, I think I have a pretty good memory. I have had to look some things up as far as dates and when certain games actually took place. But I feel like when I get started, I kind of get on a roll. I had a few long plane trips recently where I took out the laptop and wound up writing for a couple of hours. So it seems like a daunting task when you have to put that many words and chapters together. But once I get on a roll, I have an outline with about 15 different subjects or chapter headings. So once I get started, it seems to flow pretty well.
Nice, nice. It's like a puzzle. Once you get a couple pieces, it all starts coming together.
Exactly, exactly.
Okay, so who's going to be the first team to win a home game here in this series? Carolina -155 favorite tonight, and rightfully so. They haven't lost a game at home over the course of the playoffs thus far. They haven't won a game away from home either. Why is there such a decided advantage here for the home team when it comes to the Carolina Hurricanes?
Right, it's a great question. It's fascinating when you watch how the playoffs have developed with Carolina winning all four home games against Boston and losing the three home games, and the pattern has continued in this series against the Rangers. The way I look at it, the Rangers have pretty much outplayed the Hurricanes in three of the four games in this series. The Rangers dominated the first two periods in game one, probably could have had a 3-0 lead, but Ronta was outstanding in that game, and Carolina winds up tying it late and then winning in overtime 2-1. The Hurricanes really tightened things up and shut down the Rangers in game two, and then it was a bit of a different style in games three and four, a little more wide open, and Igor Shesterkin's been unbelievable. He's only allowed 5 goals in the series, 1 in each of the last 3 games, so we'll see what happens tonight. I was over at the arena this morning, and both coaches spoke with the media, both confident about their groups. So we'll see which way it goes. But so far, it's been a home team series, as was the case for the Canes in the first round. But I'm a lot closer to the Rangers than I am to the Hurricanes, given that I worked their radio throughout the season, and I didn't work all the games in the Pittsburgh series, and worked 3 out of the 4 in this series so far. But They're playing with confidence. They have a great goaltender. They've shown the ability to come back so often this season. They have 29 comeback wins during the regular season, and then against the Penguins, they're down in the series 3-1. They're down in the last 3 games, 2-0, 2-0, and 3-2. So they have shown the resiliency to be able to come back. And Gerard Gallant, their head coach, is sort of an old-school guy, and the team has fed off that. We've seen some physicality, but not a lot of dumb penalties, and they've been able to score a couple of big power play goals in this series, and they've held the Hurricanes off the score sheet on the power play. So Again, we'll see what happens tonight. The opening face-off is about 4.5 hours away. It should be a good one.
Kenny Albert joining us here on TSN Radio at Kenny Albert. I am Gareth Wheeler. You have that unique position of being inside these buildings. Like, it's one thing watching on TV and trying to decipher whether there is a home ice, home field advantage. You're there. You're in the moment. And you call NFL games, MLB games, basketball games. Like, is there something different about the hockey atmosphere? Like, so far in the playoffs, the home team has a win percentage rate of 62.7. Like, that's a significant jump from the regular season where there's a lot of games, things can be flat at times. Like, is it about the environment? Is it about having the last change? What is it for you, Kenny, that makes the difference for the home team here?
You know, the last change is certainly part of it, and we've seen the matchup with the Zibanejad line and the Jordan Staal line, and that was what Rod Brind'Amour certainly seemed to want in the first two games, and Gallant was able to get away from that a bit in games 3 and 4, and it benefited the Rangers. You know, I think back to so many coaches through the years, and John Tortorella used to say this all the time when he was in New York, Elaine Vigneault as well. You know, there didn't seem to be much of a home ice advantage in the playoffs until you got to game 7. Mm. There definitely seems to be one in game 7. As far as the series that I've worked this year, I think there's definitely something to it as far as feeding off the energy of the fans. A couple of the Carolina players were talking about it this morning. The Carolina building's been tremendous as far as the fans, the atmosphere. Madison Square Garden always is. Interesting, in the other series I worked this round, Tampa Bay, Florida. To me, the Florida crowd was just seemed so quiet in those first two games. A little louder in the second game against Tampa Bay, but I was shocked at the lack of atmosphere in the building in the first game in Sunrise. Now, from what I'm told, they were a lot better in the first round when the Panthers played Washington. So, you know, maybe it was a case of the fan base taking a collective deep breath once they finally won a series for the first time in 26 years. But the first game in that Lightning-Panthers series, it kind of felt like game 62 of the regular season. Different case in Tampa. The building there was tremendous, the atmosphere. I would compare that building to what I've seen in Carolina over the first two games. Great atmosphere in both places.
Yeah, it's got to have some kind of factor. I mean, I think a lot, you know, we in this industry tend to look at things a lot more through an analytical lens as well now, and just line matching. And, you know, Jerry Gallant just making sure that he's keeping Kreider and Zibanejad away from Staal. Like, I just wonder, like, kind of, you know, if you're to do a pie chart, like, how much of the advantage would be the ability to line match versus the travel versus the atmosphere versus the other intangibles that, you know, kind of come into play here, because it's been striking. Like, Carolina's averaging well over 3 goals a game away from home or at home, but just 1.6 on their travels in the playoffs. Like, there's a significant jump in terms of the Hurricanes' performance at home versus how they fared away from home over the course of the playoffs thus far.
Right. No, you would think there's a definite advantage, especially with the way their crowd has been during their home games. They've been so intense and loud and really a big factor. But I think you also have to look at the two buildings where they played on the road, Boston and New York, two original six franchises, tremendous fan bases. So the home teams are certainly fed off the energy in both places.
So whoever survives and makes it through this series, I mean, you saw Tampa. We saw Tampa up here in Toronto. Who's the better matchup for them? Who do you think would have a better chance of advancing to a Stanley Cup final?
Boy, that's a good question. I think either way, it'll be a great series. I had the opportunity to call Tampa's last 5 games, and Vasilevsky was incredible. Allowed only 4 goals combined in the 5 games. But earlier in the playoffs against the Leafs, over the first 5 games of that series, he was vulnerable. Gave up the 5 goals in the first game. You just have to give the Lightning so much credit. They have the heart of a champion, great head coach in John Cooper, getting it done without Braden Point in the last round. Hedman and McDonough and the entire defense corps were terrific, you know, whether it was Chernak blocking shots or Jan Ruda coming off an injury. He played well. Sergachev, you know, right on down the line. And up front, they went with 11-7 the entire Tampa series. So they basically played with 3 lines, and they would spot the other guys, Maroon and Belmar, and Corey Perry had a great series. And you look at the 3 guys they lost, with Goodrow, Coleman, and Gord being a major part of their championship team. Well, they replaced them with Corey Perry, Nick Paul, and Brandon Hagel. That's not too bad. So they're a tremendous team. I think it'll be a great matchup, whether it's the Rangers or the Lightning. And when you have a goalie like Shesterkin, you know, he might be able to match Vasilevsky save for save. So,
yeah.
And then with Carolina, you know, who knows if it'll be Ranta, if Anderson comes back. So I think either way, it'll be terrific. And in the West, you know, right now we're looking at the Avalanche and Oilers having leads in their series. So if that's what it becomes, and I'll be working the Western Conference series on the TV side, you know, how great would it be to watch McKinnon and McDavid go up against each other for potentially seven games? But the Blues are a great story. You know, coming back last night, what a scene that was. And maybe they win game six at home and force a game seven. And don't count out Calgary either. So it should be a tremendous Final Four, no matter what the combination of teams winds up being.
No kidding. And that's why I just kind of feel like Shesterkin, like, the goaltending can be the X factor, the great equalizer. We've seen it so many times, Kenny. Just Shesterkin, there's no reason to believe. I just think that Kim v. Vasilevsky at that position, it's like a coin toss, right? Like two goaltenders that have just been on the top of their game this season. And that's with no disrespect to Ranta or Anderson.
The thought of him are so deep, both up front and defensively, so... again, if it is the Rangers and Lightning, I think it would be a tremendous series, and same thing if it's Carolina.
I got to ask you before I let you run. On the NHL on TNT desk, like Henrik Lundqvist, you posted a video of him playing guitar. Like, he's just a stud. Like, you've known this guy. You've called his games for ages when he was playing. You know, is he in the Derek Jeter, like, sphere of just absolute gems of a person? Like, I just look at this guy. Like, guys like him can just own a city. They can own a fan base, and it just seems like he's the guy, right?
And he did, as far as the hockey fan base in New York. He has owned it over the last close to a decade now. He came up in 05, 06, and he's such a gentleman. He's nice to everybody, whether it's the media, the fans. Obviously was an unbelievable goaltender. You know, never won the ultimate prize with the Rangers, but got to the Stanley Cup final, went to the conference final three times. Did win an Olympic gold medal and a world championship, so he was able to rise to the occasion. I just think back to the stretch, 11 times in 12 years they made it to the playoffs between 06 and 2017. And in at least half of those seasons, they just made it by about a point or two or three or four, and he stole so many games for the Rangers during that time. So single-handedly, you know, won so many game sevens when they were a team without a lot of offensive firepower. So just a tremendous goaltender, great guy, and so happy to see the success he's having with both MSG Networks and TNT.
Yeah, it's great to see. The productions look great, Kenny. Keep up the great work. Look, you know, I have no rooting interest in the Western Conference, but for your sake, McKinnon, McDavid, bring it on. Fingers crossed, that'll be a lot of fun. But first, have fun with this series tonight, and good luck with the call tonight. Canes and Rangers, 7 p.m. Eastern time. Thank you so much for doing this, Kenny.
Really appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, and enjoy the rest of the playoffs, and I'm sure we'll be chatting again soon.
Thanks, pal. The great Kenny Albert joining us here on TSN Radio, at Kenny Albert. Of course, MSG Networks, Rangers and Knicks, NHL and TNT, Fox Sports. You hear him calling NFL football games, Major League Baseball. He's an absolute just beast in the broadcasting world. His dad, Marv, like, yes. Like, he's the soundtrack to my youth growing up and watching NBA hoops, man. Like, Marv, jeez, what a family. I'll read Kenny Albert's book any day of the week, man. It'd be something else. Rangers, Canes tonight. Also, in the Western Conference, the Battle of Alberta rages on. Jakob Markstrom needs to step up, man. Like, the Flames are a better team than the Oilers. We'll get into this a little bit later on. I've no doubt the Flames are a better team than the Oilers, but, man, you got to make those big saves. Like, I don't know. TSN 1050's Fill My Ride is your chance to win hundreds of dollars in gas money. Listen weekdays at 7:45 a.m. during First Up for the Fill My Ride keyword of the day. When you hear the cue to call at 8:45, start dialing at 416-870-1050. The phone lines are working. The first caller through with the correct keyword of the day wins $250 in gas money. Listen daily and fill your ride with First Up. Karolnik and Koliakovo. right here on TSN 1050. Kaepernick, Kadri, Bozy, Lowry, and more still to come on today's program. Wheels up! You're listening to Gameplay on TSN 1050. All right, wheels up. Gareth Wheeler with you. We'll get more into the story at the top of the clock. It caught me by surprise today. I don't know if this is like a headline for shock value or it's a legitimate headline. The headline courtesy of BBC News, BBC.com, turning urine into beer in Singapore. Another website, what you need to know about Singapore's beer made out of urine. Now, that's a headline, ladies and gentlemen, that you must click on if you see it. Our producer Nick's hanging out here. Have you seen this story? There's a new type of beer being sold at a brewery in Singapore with a very unique ingredient, says the story. New brew is made of a liquid which is recycled from sewage, filtered, and pumped into Singapore's water supply. So it's essentially made out of urine. It goes on to explain another article that, according to The Independent, who wrote about this, the sewage is treated to become quote-unquote ultra-clean water before it's used to make 95% of the tropical blonde ale. Tropical blonde. How can you ensure that something is ultra-clean? I'm kind of suspicious. Nick,
I was
going to
ask you, what does ultra-clean water mean? Is the water that we're drinking not clean? Is that what that means?
Well, yeah, we understand how filtration works. I still drink my water through a filter at home anyway, so I guess that makes it ultra-clean. But this is all to become more green, right? Because a lot of water is used in creating beer. So they're trying to recycle it. But the way that they've kind of twisted it, it made it sound that it's you're drinking your own pee. It sounds absolutely disgusting. I can't drink this. I can't. Even if it's like a loose connection, the way that it's being framed here, there's no chance, Nick. I can't.
No, I don't think I could do that. But if it works for them and it actually is clean, like, good for them figuring out a way to be a little bit more green.
It says this. Well, good for that. If you're down for drinking pee, maybe. It says that the clean new water does not contaminate the taste of the malt, hops, and strains of yeast in the drink. Yeah, but what about the taste of piss? That's what I'm more concerned about. I'm going to dig in a little bit deeper and figure out what the hell is going on here. I'm all about saving the planet, but drinking my own urine isn't one of the sacrifices that I personally am willing to make. Would you? At Gareth Wheeler, Gareth.Wheeler. This is Gameplay on TSN 1050. Here is a traffic update.
This hour of Gameplay is brought to you by FanDuel. Bet on all your favorite teams on the FanDuel Sportsbook app.